We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
East goes West Coast to talk trade. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Two men who are arguably the most powerful leaders in the world will meet face to face in a few hours' time. President Biden and China's Xi Jinping will have talks in California. And this meeting is on the edge of a summit of Asia Pacific leaders in San Francisco. Here's the BBC's Vivian Nunes with the details.
At APEC, we imagine the possibilities when there is dialogue and cooperation. When diverse communities work together through trade, good things can happen.
The Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum brings together leaders of 21 economies in the Pacific region, including representatives from Hong Kong and Taipei, alongside those from the People's Republic of China. The idea behind the grouping is to promote free trade across the Pacific region. But over the past few years, China and the US have been putting up trade barriers like tariffs instead of taking them down. China has called the tariffs on a range of consumer goods discriminatory. One item likely to be high on the agenda is the tit-for-tat trade spat over semiconductors. Dr. Chris Miller is the author of Chip War.
China is spending tens of billions of dollars a year trying to domesticate an industry that in the past has been spread over multiple different countries. And that has catalyzed policy responses from other governments. So, for example, the U.S. has decided to restrict the transfer of AI chips, the types of chips that are used in training AI systems, to China.
The U.S. says it introduced these controls because of national security concerns and not because it wants to maintain an economic advantage. Is that a credible argument?
Well, I think when you talk to government officials, they are laser focused on the security implications of advanced chips and the types of AI capabilities that they enable. The challenge is that the exact same chips that are used to train AI with civilian implications can also be used to train AI with military implications or intelligence implications. There's just no way of differentiating.
How do you see this chip war, this contest to dominate the semiconductor industry, playing out then? And do you think anything will be achieved at APEC?
China has very clearly set a goal of becoming self-sufficient in semiconductors. The U.S. has very clearly set a goal of trying to remain far ahead of its competitors in this sphere. And despite the Xi-Biden meeting, which I fully expect to have lots of press releases that make it sound like the relationship's getting better, the reality is there's a pretty zero-sum competition here for which country is going to be the world's technology leader. And I think it would be naive to count too much on a single summit to diffuse that basic competitive dynamic.
That was Dr. Chris Miller, author of Chip War. Now let's do something a little bit closer to home for the BBC World Service. Prices in the UK went up by only 4.6% in October, more than 2 percentage points lower than the previous month. That's also a two-year low. Here's the BBC's economics correspondent, Andy Verity.
The Office for National Statistics measures inflation by comparing the prices of a basket of goods and services last month with a year before. So economists have long predicted that the difference between prices now and prices a year ago would shrink once the big hikes in energy bills of October last year were more than a year in the past. In spite of government attempts to claim credit for the slowdown in inflation, those factors have little to do with domestic fiscal policy and much more to do with an easing of global inflationary pressures, as reflected in other countries such as France, where the official measure of inflation is now 4.5%, or the United States, where it's 3.2%.
Andy Verity there. Now, let's do some more numbers. Weaker inflation in the UK and, of course, in the US spurred expectations of an end to global rate hikes. European markets are on the up about 0.5%. There was also a rally across Asia. Markets there were helped by positive numbers from China, with consumer and industrial activity better than expected. But Japan's economy shrank by more than expected, by 0.5% since last quarter. Analysts say this could put more pressure on the Bank of Japan to raise interest rates. Now, the term economic crisis hardly does justice to what people in Sri Lanka have had to endure recently. Last year, surging fuel prices led to basics like bread trebling in price for a while. There were violent protests on the streets. Parliament was stormed and the president resigned. Well, now the country's Supreme Court has found that the former president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, his brother Mahinda and other top officials are partially responsible for the economic collapse. The BBC's South Asia regional editor, Anbarasan Etharajan, explained what this ruling means.
It's a symbolic judgment by the Sri Lankan Supreme Court. The Sri Lankan advocacy group, Transparency International Sri Lanka, they approached the court saying the fundamental rights of the people have been violated because of the ongoing economic crisis, and the people suffered heavily. So the Supreme Court has ruled that the former president, the Gotabaya Rajapaksa, his elder brother Mahinda, who was also a president before and he was the prime minister later on, and the younger one, Basil Rajapaksa, he was the finance minister, and two former central bank governors and two other officials were held responsible for the economic crisis. Since it is a symbolic judgment, they did not order any punishment or asking them to pay millions of dollars.
Anbarasan Etharajan reporting. And finally, French cheesemakers are kicking up a stink over a new EU recycling law to phase out single-use packaging. Despite EU assurances, some fear that the iconic wooden boxes for Camembert are at risk. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was James Graham. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.